Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In November of 1838, 700 people, including 6 pastors, 10 seminarians, and 4 teachers, climbed aboard 5 different ships in Bremerhaven, Germany. These are actually drawings of, paintings of 2 of those ships. And their destination was the New World, America. But almost immediately, in the rough winter seas of the northern Atlantic, seasickness set in. And 2 days into the journey, they lost their first passenger, a 3-year-old boy who died of heart failure. And that child was committed to the foamy dark waters of the sea in a little coffin. But even more tragically, an entire ship, the Amalia, went down with everyone on board in a storm off the coast of France. Later in the month, the storm was so severe that all of the hatches on one of the ships had to be closed and no one was allowed on deck. Imagine being locked, for your own safety, of course, but still being locked below decks with little ventilation, surrounded by fellow seasick passengers. When the seas were calm enough again in early December, the pastors gathered people above deck, and they had Advent devotions and hymns. And the teachers and the seminarians taught the children their school lesson, and each day ended with hymns and prayers. These immigrants left their homeland filled with faith in God and trusting in His mighty presence. And if you haven't guessed by now, these people were the founding members of what became the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. They sailed across the Atlantic, arrived in New Orleans about 2 months later, and 6 weeks later made their way up the Mississippi to Missouri. Our spiritual forebearers bore many crosses as they immigrated to America and to freedom. They saw this as the only way to live out their faith freely. And that's often the story of immigrants. People who face grave danger so that they might live to share the message of Jesus in a new home. In our Lenten series this year, Lent for All Nations, we're pairing the story of immigrants who came to America with a character from the Bible who also lived as a sojourner, a resident alien, an immigrant, if you will. And we're doing that because more and more we are surrounded by people from all around the world who have moved in down the street or are working in the cubicle next to us or whose school locker isn't far from us. Now, I'd guess that almost all of us here were born in America, right? Anybody here that wasn't born in America? The baby was born in England. So almost all of us were born in America. And since that's the case, none of us really have any first-hand knowledge of the experience of immigrants. But most of us have ancestors who did. How many of you know of ancestors, at least maybe 2 generations back, that came to America? I'm one. Yeah, look. See how many of those? Most of us have ancestors who came from other places. My grandfather came from Sweden. Janet's grandfather came from, on her mother's side, came from Germany. And I think, Mel, your father also emigrated from Denmark, right? He wasn't born here. Picture yourself sitting with grandma or great-grandpa and asking them to tell you what it was like to be an immigrant, coming to a new country. In fact, I mean, maybe some of you have already done that. But I don't say that just so that we can reminisce about old times. That image of sitting with grandma or great-grandpa actually deals with our eternal salvation. See, only if we understand ourselves as people of foreign nations will we understand our salvation. That's right. Only if we understand ourselves as foreigners will we fully understand and appreciate our salvation. And I hope that this will become a little more clear before we leave this morning. So the Bible character that we're focusing on, this morning is Abraham. I don't know how much you know about Abraham. Maybe all that you remember is a song from Sunday school or VBS that spoke of Father Abraham having many sins. Well, it probably said sons, but he had many sins too. Or maybe you've heard that Abraham is the father of three religions: Judaism, Christianity, and also Islam. But those images make Abraham just some distant character of ancient history. And this morning, I want you to think of Abraham as your great, 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 and lots more great, greats grandpa, who has his own immigrant story. And that story is found in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. And there we read that God came to Abraham and told him to move from Ur of the Chaldeans. Now that's somewhere near the southern border of, or the southern part of Iraq today. He was to go to a land that the Lord would show to him. And so he did. He packed up his family and journeyed to a strange land solely on the basis of this promise from God. Now the Lord said to Abram, he hadn't had his name changed yet, that comes a few chapters later. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Those verses describe, of course, the first descendant of what would become the Jewish nation. And Jews still refer to Abraham as their founding father, even themselves as children of Abraham. In fact, in Jesus' day, the Jewish people pointed to this genetic ancestry as proof that they alone were special and deserving of God's attention and affection. But that couldn't be further from the truth. God's promise to Abraham wasn't about creating some bloodline, some perfect ethnicity. God's intent was much, much bigger than that. Through Isaiah, God declared, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." God's plan had always been to bless all nations through Abraham's descendants. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul becomes more specific. It was through Abraham's descendants that Jesus would be born, live, and then die on a cross, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. God created and protected the Jewish nation for the sole purpose of bringing Christ to us. God blessed Abraham's family, the Israelites, so that from their family tree, Jesus would be born to be the Savior, not just of the Jews, but the Savior of the whole world. All nations, including the Jews, needed rescuing from the mess they had made of their lives and their families, and the earth. See, as you read the story of the Jewish people in the Old Testament, you quickly discover that though the Lord was with them in a way like no other nation, they are just as flawed and sinful as the rest of the people around them. It was God's plan to bless the nations of the earth through Abraham's one descendant, Jesus Christ. And that's why it's only if we see ourselves as foreigners, as people who don't deserve citizenship in heaven, that we can be saved. Because it's only when we recognize that we are outsiders, foreigners, people who deserve nothing, that our salvation is solely by God's grace, that we can be blessed by Abram's descendant, Jesus. The writer to the letter of the Hebrews, excuse me just a second. The writer to the letter of the Hebrews describes people of faith this way. They acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. They desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. We Americans have a proud history. We turned the tide of World War II, and ever since then, we've been defenders of freedom, hope, and democracy across the globe. But it's easy to get puffed up with pride. Sometimes we begin to see ourselves more as Americans than as sinners in need of salvation. As the world's superpower, we've had to be, quote-unquote, saviors of others time and time again. So it's tempting for us to look down on immigrant people coming here. You know, appropriate care and concern for our country can easily slide into spiritual pride. But when we stop and listen to great-grandpa, we remember that almost all of us are immigrants, even refugees. But what's more important is that we see ourselves as spiritual refugees, that our sin has cut us off from any right or claim to God's blessings. Instead, we're immigrants who can only look to Jesus, God's true and only Son. America can't save us from our sins. Only Jesus can do that. And He has. And He does. His death and resurrection are yours. Have you ever thought about how blessed you are to have been born in this land? What if you've been born in a land where you weren't free to live openly as a Christian? You see, it's only by grace, a free gift, that you and I were not born somewhere else. A gift of America that's ours, because our immigrant forebears made their way here. God has chosen to send the mission field now, literally to your doorstep. What does it say to us if we harbor a grudge or frustration or even hatred of immigrants new to America? What does that say of our gratitude to God for His undeserved blessings? It's a sin. But today you're forgiven. You're forgiven for any time you've ever cast blame on a particular group of people for all the problems in society. Today you're forgiven of taking God's gifts of grace for granted. Today the faith of Father Abraham calls you to put your faith in Christ and Him alone. Today the faith of Father Abraham reminds you to walk humbly as an outsider who has been invited to be an insider because of Christ. It's only through Christ's forgiveness and the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts that we can begin to see immigrants in a new light. Martin Luther wrote, "The whole world is blessed if it believes as Abraham believed. The blessing is the promise of the gospel. That all nations are to be blessed means that all nations are to hear the gospel." And that's exactly why God has brought you to faith. See, it's not just to get you to heaven. He wants you to share the news that is so good and so sweet with other people, with people of all nations. And that's what our German immigrant ancestors did when they came to this country. They knew they had no entitlement to the blessings of God. They knew that they were outsiders and foreigners who had been blessed by Christ. And it was this knowledge that caused them to leave their homeland in Germany. They wanted to be able to be faithful to the gospel as their only hope and salvation in a new land of freedom. And it was the gospel which prompted them to begin sharing that gospel with other nations shortly after they arrived in St. Louis. The first generation of German Lutherans in America pretty quickly began to share the gospel with Native Americans in Michigan and Minnesota. And the leaders of the church body even requested that the seminary train missionaries specifically for the task of helping them to learn the Chippewa language. A few years later, a mission to Chinese immigrants was started in St. Louis. The first Lutherans weren't afraid to go into what many considered enemy territory of Native Americans, nor the big city of Chinese immigrants, or even to African immigrants who had been enslaved and forced to work in the fields of the South. They weren't afraid to mix with peoples of a different race, tongue, and culture, who were living in their own country, living right beside them. They did this because those German immigrants knew everyone. Everyone had the same need for God's mercy and forgiveness. Germans, Native Americans, Chinese, and African Americans, all are included in God's promise to bless all nations through Abraham's family, through Abraham's descendant, through Jesus. And we're to understand ourselves the same way. Thank God for the country we live in. Thank God for the freedoms He's given us. And thank God for the people that He's brought into our lives. People that we don't know, but people that we know need to know Christ. By God's grace, we trust in Father Abraham, His descendant, our Lord Jesus Christ. And He would have us to seek ways to share that gospel with our neighbors who are from all nations. Amen.